Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
Episode 7, Season 5 of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I'm your host, John Hansen. And our special guest this week, as we continue to talk about the NABBA Mr. Universe contest, is Lance Dreher. And Lance, for those of you who were around back in the 1980s, you remember Lance as a really genetically gifted bodybuilder. He had huge arms, and he won the 1986 NABBA Mr. Universe in the professional division. And I, of course, remember Lance from growing up in Chicago, because Lance was kind of a legend around the Chicago area back in the 70s and 80s. He was a young kid. He competed in the Teenage Mr. America with Tom Platz. He always had like 20-inch arms from a very young age. So he was really a genetic freak. And I saw him win the 1980 Central USA contest in Chicago, which was a great memory for me. I was only like 17 years old at the time. And then Lance went on to win the IFBB Mr. Universe in 1981. And we all thought he was going to have a great career competing on the Mr. Olympia. And he did compete in the Mr. Olympia a couple times, but he didn't place that well. So he eventually went over to the NABBA organization. So Lance is going to talk about all of that. He's going to talk about his beginnings in the sport and competing as a teenager, and then competing with the AAU, the MPC, and the IFBB, and then competing in the NABBA Universe. So we got a great conversation coming up with Lance Dreher, NABBA Mr. Universe winner. All right, well, I want to mention we are brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One. Everybody wants to be a champion. Everybody wants to be the best. And at Redcon One, they believe in working hard and achieving your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. They have a premier clinically dosed pre-workout called Total War that is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And you can fuel your body after those workouts with the revolutionary MRE. This is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs. And the carbs are coming from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And you can enter the discount code LEGENDS because you are listening to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and you'll get 15% discount off your order. And we're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I have been with Old School Labs now for several years. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They are the brand that I used to win the Masters Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012. And they're also the company, as I mentioned, that sponsors Breon Ansley, the new 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champ. And they also sponsor Sergio Oliva Jr. And they also brought on 1983 Mr. Olympia, Samir Banut. So just use the discount code LEGENDS12 when you go to their website, oldschoollabs.com, and you will get 12% off your order. And be sure to check out their new protein powder called Vintage Brawn that contains protein from whole food sources such as eggs, milk, and meat. So check that out, Vintage Brawn at oldschoollabs.com. All right, I just want to announce also I got a new website up. I'm really proud of this. We just launched it this week. The website is dadbod2rippedbod.com, and the 2 is a number 2. So again, it's dadbod2rippedbod.com. I had so much success doing these nutrition consultations in the Tampa area. I've got about 10 clients now that I'm helping one-on-one, and we take measurements every week, and I'm helping them with their diet and with their training, and some of them have just made phenomenal progress. This new guy I'm helping, Eric, in the last 10 weeks, he lost 30 pounds, and he lost 7 inches off his waist. So it's just amazing some of the progress these guys are making when they follow a bodybuilding-type diet that I designed for them, and I customize it to their body and their activity levels, their age, and I give them just the right amount of macronutrients with the right amount of calories, and then I customize a workout program for them depending on their level of experience. I tell them what to do with the weight training, what exercise to do, how many reps, everything, and also how much cardio to do, because most of them are just out of shape and they want to lose fat and they want to gain muscle. And so that's where I came up with this idea for dadbodtoripbod.com. So now I have a website designed where you can just go on there, fill out the training and diet questionnaire, and I will design a training and nutrition program for you that will be customized to you. And the great thing about these programs is I follow you along with it for the first month. So every week, every couple of days, I'm checking in with you to see how the diet's going, see how the training's going. And then after that, if you want to keep following up with me, we have follow-up consultations also, where you can go 1 month at a time or 3 months at a time or 6 months at a time or however long you want to do it. And you just keep going until you reach your goal and make progress. I'm there with you every step of the way. And that's the great part of this program. And that's what's working so well with these guys I'm working with out here in Tampa. So I thought I would bring it out to the rest of the world and have a website. So again, that's dadbodtoripbod.com if you want to check that out. Also, with my other books, the Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends Volume 1 and the MT6 Workout, I am offering both of those books for only a $45 special. And if you order both books at the same time off of my website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com, you will get a free ebook that I wrote called Training Methods for Gaining Size. So if you go to bodybuildinglegendshow.com, click on the special offers tab at the top of the website, and you will get that free ebook, Training Methods for Gaining Size, along when you order the two books, the Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends Volume 1 and the MT6 Workout. So be sure to take advantage of that special offer while it's still around. All right, I'm working on a couple more interviews for this season. We've got a lot of guys to talk to about this NABBA universe because it has such a rich history and there were so many winners. So I might get a chance to talk to Tony Emmett. And Tony Emmett was around back in the 1970s. He won the NABBA universe in 1977, and he beat out the great Serge Nubre. So that was really a great victory for Tony, probably the highlight of his career. But Tony also competed in the IFBB. And I remember seeing pictures of him when Arnold was training back at Gold's Gym, and he would come out to Gold's over the summer. He was one of those bodybuilders from Europe that traveled to California for the summer to train for all the big competitions in September. So I'm sure Tony's got a lot of great stories about training back in the old days and then competing. He competed in the NABBA Universe way back when he was only in his 20s, I think, back in the 60s. So he's got a long history in the sport. And I think Tony is now 79 years old. He just celebrated his 79th birthday. I saw it on Facebook. Cy Sweeney, who was a friend of mine on Facebook. Cy is a big historian of the NABBA universe, and Cy has really been instrumental in not only providing me with some great pictures of some of those past events, but also setting me up with some of the legends who competed way back in the day. And I probably wouldn't have been able to reach these guys without his help. So thank you, Cy, for that. And I'm also going to interview Roy Duvall this week. And Roy was another one who's got a great history in the sport, competed back in the 60s and 70s. I actually got to see Roy compete at the IFBB 1979 Mr. Universe that was held in Columbus, Ohio, with the Mr. Olympia that year. And Roy won the middleweight class, beating out Richard Baldwin from the United States. And Roy's got a great physique. And when I saw him on stage, I was really, really impressed. It's one thing when you see pictures of these guys in the magazines, but if you ever get a chance to see these guys in person or at a contest, it's just amazing. You can really see the quality in their physique. So Roy is still in the United Kingdom, so I'm hoping to talk to him this week. I'm also working on my book still, The Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. I'm hoping to have that done by the end of February. And as I mentioned on last week's show, this is a book that's going to detail all the training and nutrition programs that I use for all the natural competitions I competed in from 1991 till 1998 when I won the Natural Olympia. So during that period from 1991 to 1998, I won the Natural Universe contest twice, and I also won the Natural Olympia, and I also had some shows where I didn't do that well. So this book is going to detail what worked for me, what didn't work. So it's going to be a great book for those of you who are into competing, especially if you're a natural bodybuilder and you want to understand what it takes to compete and the different training and diet protocols that work or don't work. So it's going to be a really, really good book. I'll have that on Amazon.com, hopefully at the beginning of March, because like I said, it's almost finished. If you get a chance after listening to our podcast, if you guys could leave a review on iTunes, I would really, really appreciate that. Some of you have done that, and I appreciate all of you who have done it. We just had a review from it's World's Strongest RD, and he just left a review, and he said, if you love hearing about the history of bodybuilding, this podcast is for you. So thanks for leaving that review. If you guys get a chance, if you could leave a review on iTunes, that really helps us out. All right, we got the Arnold Classic coming up in only 3 more weeks, so that'll be here before you know it. And Breon Ansley, who is with Old School Labs, he will be competing in the Classic Physique division. Breon, of course, is the reigning Olympia Classic Physique winner. So Breon will be putting his title on the line, and he will be competing in the Arnold Classic, and I think he's got to be the favorite to win that. That is only a couple more weeks. I just wrote a preview article of my predictions on who's going to win the Open Arnold's Classic, which is really going to be competitive. It's going to be one of the most competitive Arnold Classics in a long, long time. So Cedric McMillan will be competing again. He is the returning champ. And Cedric, of course, is one of my favorite professional bodybuilders because he has the symmetry and the shape and also the mass of the old classic, old school bodybuilders. So I really love his physique. I hope he can pull this off again. And I know he's a big favorite of Arnold himself. And Arnold wants him to win again. So hopefully he can do it. But he had a real poor showing at the Olympia. So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to come back and win it again. He's going to be facing some really, really tough competition, though, much tougher than last year. He's got Dexter Jackson, who will be coming in again. Dexter was not in it last year, and Dexter, of course, is the all-time leading winner of the Arnold Classic with 5 wins. He beat out Flex Wheeler's record. And Sean Roden will also be competing for the first time in about, I think, 4 years when he took second place to Dennis Wolfe. So he'll be competing. And Dennis Wolfe is making his comeback. He hasn't competed in about 3 years because he had back surgery. So he'll be coming back. And then another guy who's really got the momentum going for him is William Bonick, who just took 3rd place at the Mr. Olympia. And he was only beat out by Big Ramy and, of course, Phil Heath. And many people thought William should have been actually in 2nd in that contest. So he beat out Cedric, and he beat out Dexter, and he beat out Sean Roden at the Mr. Olympia. So William Bonick is coming in with some really great momentum. So we will see what happens at the Arnold Classic in only a couple more weeks, and 3 more weeks in Columbus, Ohio. So it should be a really great event, probably one of the best events they've had in the open men's division in a long time. And I also want to mention we're brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your physical potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. They have very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few reasons to give them a call. Their office number is 813-922-8939. And they are located in Tampa, Florida, but they will work with anybody in the United States. And you can visit their website at flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's FL for Florida, flalternativemeds.com. And again, their office number to call them directly is 813-922-8939. And mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and you'll get 20% off any packages you order. And you'll also get a free consultation. So give them a try. All right, here is our interview with the great Lance Dreher, the 1986 NABBA Pro Mr. Universe winner, and also the winner of the 1981 IFBB Mr. Universe. So here he is, Lance Dreher. Enjoy the interview. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And I'm on the line with one of the guys I grew up admiring, Mr. Lance Dreher, who was a Mr. Universe several times. Lance, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
Well, Lance, it's really an honor to talk to you. As I said, I started bodybuilding, I think, in 1977. I grew up in Chicago, so I got a chance to see you around, and I got a chance to see you compete a couple times. And you are really a living legend in the Chicago area, so it's really an honor to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm giving my age away, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we're all getting up there, right?
Yeah, 77 was a long time ago.
It seems like yesterday, though, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. Tell me about it.
Well, Lance, let's talk a little bit about your history in the sport. I know you competed in the Teenage Mr. America, so you started training when you were younger, and you obviously had fantastic genetics. I could see that when I saw you compete. So tell us a little bit about how you got into bodybuilding and what age you started and all that.
Yeah, I actually started bodybuilding when I was 14 years of age. I started by playing high school football my freshman year, and I tore ligaments in my knee. And my father, who had lifted weights for many, many years, in fact, he had a 500-pound bench press. Put me on a weight training program to build me up, primarily for football. That was the main interest. And, of course, one thing led to another, and I was pretty good at football, but my body building took over as I got a little bit older because I became more interested in how I looked and, you know, the response I would get from people when they saw me, either my physique or my strength. So we went from football to bodybuilding.
Lance, you said your dad had a 500-pound bench press?
Yeah, my dad was extremely strong. Big old hands and wrists. About 5'7". And he had about a 20-inch arm, 19¾-inch arm back in the 1950s.
Jeez. So that's where your genetics came from, huh?
He hit that right on the head. Yeah. I remember hanging on his arm when I was a kid. I said, Dad, make a mountain. He'd flex his bicep and a big old peak would come up. He'd hang on his arm. So there were 10 of us in the family. It's 7 boys and 3 girls, so.
Wow, yeah, 10 kids in the family. That's right. I remember that now. I remember reading that. Lance, when did you start competing then?
I was my first competition when I was 17.
Okay.
It was the Mr. Chicagoland at the observatory downtown, the preparatory.
Yeah.
Downtown. That's where I met Joe Abrams was there, Chuck Rotter, I think, who won the competition. Mario Nieves was in it. Sergio Olivas showed up. And that's where I met Bob Gaida.
Bob was a big influence on you, right? It was your training
Bob
and stuff?
Was a major influence on my philosophy, on my education, and where I'm at today.
Okay. So you were 17 years old at that first contest.
Yeah. I had a lot of compliments from people basically saying how big I was and how good I looked for my age. I didn't know nothing about dieting. My diet consisted of 3 weeks of eating low carbohydrates, and low carbohydrates to me was a hot dog without a bun.
Right.
That was basically it. So,
yeah.
It was my first show. Back then, you weren't allowed to use any type of artificial tan. It had to be the real thing. A sun lamp that you laid underneath and had a tan maybe on your chest and back, but that's about it. You couldn't even use oil back then.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, that was the AAU days, right? Back in the old days.
Oh, yeah. A long time ago.
What did you look like in that first show, Lance? How much did you weigh? Do you remember?
I probably weighed close to about 210, 215.
Really? At 17 years old?
Yeah, I was big.
Yeah.
And you know, I wasn't fat. I just wasn't heavily muscular. But, you know, I looked good for being 17.
Yeah.
And my arms were about 20 inches at the time.
And, unbelievable.
In fact, that was the first time I met Sergio Levin. It was quite interesting to see him because here's this legend that all I saw was pictures of him in the magazines, and the guy shows up to my first competition, so I had an opportunity to spend a few minutes with him, to talk to him, just he and I.
Yeah.
And he gave me a few tips. I touched his arm, and I go, this arm looked like a leg. And I said to him, I said, what do you do for your arms? He goes, well, I do cheat curls with 200 pounds, and I do headbangers, tricep extensions to the forehead with about 100, with about 250. So my goal was to outdo him, so I got up to where I was using 275 pounds for cheat curls for 6 reps and 300 pounds for tricep extension, touching the forehead with 300 pounds for 6 reps. In fact, the whole gym used to stop and watch me do arms.
Wow, unbelievable. And also that year, Lance, you went into the Teenage Mr. America, is that right?
Yeah, that was when I was 18. Platt, first was the Teenage USA, which was in Erie, Pennsylvania. But Tom Platz was in it. I was in it. Steve Bordinsky, who was in the show the year before and had placed third. The competition was between Tom and I and Bordinsky. He wasn't even in the picture. And the judges were questioning Tom and I back and forth, comparing us. In fact, the judge's panel, the head judge, said, you guys both need to stop training your legs. Your legs are going to get too big. Heavy. Okay,
yeah.
Of course, Tom kept doing that. That was became his trademark. And
right.
Interestingly enough, Bordinsky won the show. Tom was second, and I was third. And then we had Teenage Mr. America, which wasn't too long after that. And Dan Tobel was in that competition. And Dan Tobel won that show. Tom was second, fourth in that show.
Right.
At that point, I got a bit discouraged because it was quite obvious that the guys were using stuff just by how they looked. And Bob Guida told me to, I forget, Ralph Countryman, I think the guy's name was. He said, look up Ralph when you're there. He's a friend of mine. And talk to him. I made a comment to Ralph how, you know, I was upset. I said, this is not fair. I'm competing, and I don't use this stuff. And it's quite obvious they are. And he says, hang in there, Lance. You got potential. That's all he said. You know,
right. What'd you think of Tom Platz when you saw him, Lance? Because did you see the future potential in him?
Yeah, Tom always had good legs.
Yeah.
Tom's legs, are, from the time he was that age until, you know, of course, that became his trademark, he always had tremendous legs. The only one I think came close to his leg development was Tim Belknap.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Tom's legs are incredible. There's no doubt about that. That was his strong point and his weak point, too, because it overshadowed anything else he had.
Did you get a chance to meet Tom at those shows?
Oh, yeah. Talked a few times there, yeah. In fact, his birthday is one day before mine, same year.
Oh, really? No kidding. Yeah. Okay.
He's June 26, 1955. Mine is June 27th. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, our Rachel McLeish's is 28th of June, 1955.
Okay. All the champions were born that week, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Samir was in the same time frame as well, within, I think, a month, I think.
Okay. So after that Teenage Mr. America, what did you do then? You were about, what, 17 that year?
Yeah, 17, 18 years old. I just continued to train, and I think the next show I went in...
Collegiate America?
No, Collegiate America was 1976.
Right.
I went into the Mr. Chicagoland, and in the Mr. Midwest. In the Midwest, I won my height class. Then I went into Collegiate Mr. America and won the Collegiate Mr. America. That's where I met Bob Hoffman. And then the following year, I won the overall Midwest, and I won every body part award except for abdominals, every one of them.
Okay.
And then I went into Mr. America. That was 1977. I ended up in a hospital. I had the flu about 3 weeks before that competition. And I went into competition anyhow, finished eighth. And then I decided to take some time off just to train to get better. And then the next competition I believe I went into was in 1979, Mr. Central USA, okay, and Mr. Badger State, and I won both those competitions, and I won all the body part awards except abdominals in those two.
Okay.
And then in 1980, Mr. America, that was the first year with the NPC of the AAU.
Yeah.
Gary Leonard was first in that, and Greg DeFuro was second. I was third in the heavyweight class. Gary and I had the same number of first place votes. And then the following year is the year that I won that class.
Okay.
When I won university and whatnot. So, yeah.
Lance, let me take you back a little bit to the earlier 70s, those other shows you did. Tell me a little bit about the Chicago bodybuilding scene, because I grew up around that time too. And you mentioned Mario Nieves and Sergio. Who were some of the other guys that you remember from around that time? Because we had some really great bodybuilders. Glenn Kinnear was around during that time.
Yeah, George Mendez, Joe Abram. Like I said, Chuck Rotter was big time. Chuck was really muscular, way ahead of his time. But he's of course Mario. He was really really good. Mario's a good guy as well.
Yeah.
But what's his name? George Rumis.
Yeah.
Another one.
He was promoting shows, too, right?
Yeah. After I was going to those competitions, I started doing well. In fact, George called me on the telephone at home one day, started talking to me and told me that he tried to psych me out. There's no way you're going to beat me. You're only 18 years old. You know, there's no way you're going to beat me. I said, well, George, just goes from there, man. Just whoever's the best going to win.
Yeah.
So that was about it. He actually had a really good physique.
Mm-hmm.
In the short class and whatnot. So, but, yeah, a lot of good bodybuilders back then in the Chicago area.
Yeah, it was a different time back then because that was even before women's bodybuilding started, so it was just men's bodybuilding, and there was some great competition back then.
Yeah, the women started sometime, about 1975, 76, 77, because I remember the competitions I used to go watch, and that's when they started having the female bodybuilding shows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in fact, I think Ernie France Remember Ernie?
Yeah, yeah. Great guy.
I think his wife was in one of the competitions.
Oh, okay, okay.
But yeah, it goes back that far, so.
And when you were young back then, Mario was probably the best bodybuilder in Chicago right then.
Yeah, Mario was, he won all kinds.
He was winning all the shows, yeah.
I think he won Junior Mr. USA, too. I think that
yeah,
was
he did.
And he placed high in a number of the other bigger ones, but I think he should have went even further because he had that good of a physique back then, you know. He was that mm-hmm. good. He just didn't
yeah.
get the exposure that the West Coast was getting at the time.
When you were a kid growing up and you were reading the magazines, who were the guys you looked up to? You mentioned Sergio, but who were some of the other bodybuilders you looked up to?
Arnold. Arnold, because Arnold's, you know, he's German Austrian. I'm German heritage. That kind
okay.
of thing. A lot of people back then make comments how I facially, profile wise, looked like Arnold.
Yeah, that's a job.
I tried to replicate some of my workouts around his,
uh-huh.
you know, and some of my posing around some of his poses, that kind
okay.
of stuff. But yeah, Arnold was the big one. And Dave Draper, he was fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, Harold Poole, you know, Freddy Ortiz, all those guys.
So when you were competing at a young age and you had such a great physique and your arms were so big and everything, what were some of the judges and what was some of the feedback you were getting from the people around you in the bodybuilding community?
Well, then I can go all the way to the top. I can
mm-hmm.
go all the way to Mr. America, Mr. Universe, maybe Mr. Olympia.
Okay.
But I kept hearing from, you know, Guida gave me a lot of insight into the Weider organization. You know, Bob never played the game.
Yeah.
Even though Weider tried to entice him to come to California, he said Weider's just into using bodybuilders for his own financial gain. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I mean, I learned a lot from him, and that's probably part of the reason why I never went to California. Because I didn't want to become just part of the mix out there, you know,
yeah.
Boston, the crowd. I knew a number of guys that went out there and they just all of a sudden just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard nothing of them again. And I didn't want to be part of that. Plus, that's not my environment, you know. At the same
mm-hmm.
time, you know, that's then and this is now. So I never would have met my wife. Probably I would have been out there.
Yeah.
I would have had four kids and my three grandkids. None of that probably would have ever happened.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What was your training like back then, Lance?
Heavy.
Okay.
Real heavy. I did a lot of dumbbell work.
Mm-hmm.
I got off the barbell training when I got into college and got
okay.
more extensively in dumbbells because of the your use of more complete range of motion with dumbbells versus the barbell. Plus the injury factor went down when you use dumbbells as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used the barbell. But the training was heavy. I would probably go anywhere between 15 and 20 sets per body part.
Okay.
Most of the time, when I was trying to build mass, I would do basically descending sets instead of ascending sets. I would warm up with a light weight, about 40, 50 reps, and go as heavy as I possibly can, and then
mm-hmm.
decrease weight per set. It enabled me to use maybe 10, 15% more weight.
Like
doing
okay.
it that way, then trying
okay.
to go up the pyramid and then down like that.
Yeah.
But I only
okay.
took, yeah, and I timed myself with a stopwatch between sets too. I wouldn't go any longer than a minute.
Oh, really?
Anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So I moved relatively fast, and even when I wasn't using the PHA, I still got done with my workout in about an hour to an hour and 25, 30 minutes at the most. And that's using lots of sets. I did chest and back, you know, one day. Shoulders
mm-hmm.
and legs, the necks, and I did arms all by themselves. And then just before a show, I would triple it up. I would train each body part three times a week, probably the last 3 weeks before a show. It would harden the body up better that way.
Wow.
But always,
okay.
always heavy, always heavy weight.
How big were you, like, as a teenager in your early 20s? What was your weight in the off season?
The heaviest I ever got to was about 260.
Wow. Okay.
And that was between competitions with a flat waist, not a big gut.
Mm-hmm. Did you believe in bulking up back then? Because I imagine you were pretty genetically gifted. You probably grew pretty easily no matter what, right?
Yeah, I just looked at weights and I grow.
right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I believe in bulking up, but not excessively. I didn't eat just to eat. I just ate a lot.
Yeah.
Primarily protein, a lot of chicken, a lot of meat, eggs. Back then, I drank some milk to bulk up, even though I don't think the milk did much good. Then I eat potatoes and, you know, that kind of stuff, a lot of fruit, that kind of stuff. So,
I don't know if this was an article I read in Iron Man or if it was a seminar I saw you at, but you said that on holidays you would go to your friend's house and eat, and then you come home and you'd eat again because you got two meals in for the holidays. Oh, in high school? Okay.
Yeah, I would train with a friend of mine, Frank Polkowska, and we'd get on the bus. This is senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Take the bus to his house. We train at his house in his room, and then his mom would feed us dinner. And then they'd give me a ride home, and I'd eat dinner again.
Right. That was it. Yeah.
A year like that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had good memories of that. In fact, yeah. it was in his room that when we were training that they had the Mr. I think it was the Mr. World competition where the first show that Arnold beat Sergio.
Yeah.
Had it on television. We were watching that show on TV. He and I were doing that.
Yeah.
I remember that real well. Long time ago.
What town did you grow up in, Lance, out in Illinois?
I grew up in the Burbank area, which is close to Oak Lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Worth, so I wasn't too far from you.
Yeah, you were real close, yeah. My cousin's the mayor of Worth right now.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't been back there in a while.
A long time. It's changed, John, a whole lot, buddy.
Yeah, I know. And you were working at the Chicago Health Club for a while, right?
Yeah.
The posh health club.
Yeah, I got a job at the 95th Street and Damon Club when I was 17.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was an instructor, but instructors back then, basically what you did was just put the weights away, walk around the gym, take a new member and show them the equipment. You know, it wasn't instructors like instructors are today.
They didn't really have personal training back then, did they?
No, actually, it was my idea to start personal training in the health club system. Back after I won the Mr. America and Mr. Universe in 1981, I was a supervisor for Chicago Health Clubs up in Rockford.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Phillips was the area director, vice president of the men's division in Chicago. I told Al Phillips, I said, the next big movement in the health club industry is going to be personal training, one-on-one training.
Yeah.
He said, let me get you with Don Weilman. We'll arrange a conference call. Tell him that. I said, because I'd be interested in putting that together for their health club system. I think that Chicago Health Club at that time had about 140 clubs, and they were the largest chain in the country. And so he arranged a conference call between the three of us. I was on the phone, and I told him, Al Phillips says, Lance, tell Mr. Weilman, who's the president of Chicago Health Club, Health and Tennis Corporation was called, what you said to me. I said, the next biggest move in the health club industry is going to be personal training. And Weilman says, there's no way. He says, you don't know what you're talking about. This is exactly what he said to me.
Wow.
You don't know what you're talking about. So that ended that conversation.
Unbelievable. You know,
I was right.
Yeah.
He was wrong. He ended up rich. I didn't. Anyhow, but I was right.
It
grew, and you have like 100 and some different certification organizations now. And then back about 2005, that's when I became certified as a life coach. I made a comment to the company I was actually going to become a life coach. I was taking my courses through that the next biggest movement in the fitness industry is going to be coaching. And it is. Many of your certification organizations are now offering certification for coaching, for life coaching.
Okay.
The same thing when it comes to your weight loss industry, like Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem and all the rest have coaches.
Okay? Right.
That's because of the accountability factor.
Right, right.
Getting people to stick with their program.
Exactly.
I mean, that's all part of the whole fitness industry's change. Okay, they're sort of morphing or evolving. The next movement, you know, of course, then they went to other things like swinging kettlebells around and all that crazy stuff that they do now that you wouldn't think of even doing in a gym, and flipping tires over and swinging sledgehammers and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah. Where were you training at back then, Lance?
I was in Rockford. I was the area director in Rockford.
Okay.
And I went from Rockford up to Milwaukee as the supervisor of the Vic Tannies. Bernie Pollock, who was part of that chain, offered me a job up there, so I moved there.
Okay.
And I worked for him for a period of time. That's where I met my wife. And then we went from there, left the health club system, and then went to Europe for a few years back and forth, and that's where our oldest son was born there.
Oh, really?
So I made connections in Europe, yeah.
Okay. I remember I saw Arnold at one of the health clubs, and I think it was 78, and you were there. That had to be the one on 95th Street. And I remember Arnold showed up at that one. Remember that?
I think that was the one that was in Orland Park.
Yeah, you're right. It was Orland Park. Right. You're right.
I think Farrah Fawcett was at that one, too.
Yeah, she was also the spokesman for the Chicago Health Club.
Yes. And one of my friends gave me a magazine with his picture on the cover when he first came to the United States. So I gave him that magazine. It was his birthday around that time. I said, here, this is a birthday present for you.
Okay.
His comment was to me was, cheapskate.
Cheapskate?
Yeah, he said, cheapskate. Exactly what he said.
Did Arnold say anything to you about your arms? Because I remember your arms were huge. I think that was the first time I ever saw you in person.
Yeah, he made little comments. Yeah, just little comments about my arms.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, Arnold had that personality, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Two types. One, he was a showman. The other one, the personal Arnold, where he was a real kind man and did a lot for kids who were underprivileged and stuff like that, had disabilities. Yeah, I saw both sides of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I went there, I think, with my dad, and I was probably 15 years old, and I remember they had us wait in a waiting room for Arnold, and it was packed, and he was at least an hour late. I remember he came in, he had this tan suit. He looked great. He looked like a movie star, all tanned up and stuff. And he was just walking around talking to everybody. It was great.
That was at the Midwest Open at the Leaning Tower YMCA.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. He did one-on-one training sessions with people. They had a group of about five or six people. They charged $2,000 a piece.
Okay.
He got it, too.
So let me talk to you about 1980, because I saw you compete, I think it was 79 or 80, at that Central USA, because I was in the teenage, and then I stuck around and I watched you win that contest. And I remember everybody was just buzzing about you because, like I said, you were kind of a legend in the Chicago area. And you were right. Everybody thought you were the best hope to win Mr. America from the Chicago area. And you went into that contest and you just blew everybody away. And that was the first time I got to see you posing on stage when you won the overall.
What show was that?
I believe it was the 1980 Central USA.
Central, right.
Yeah.
Ray York was in that show, too.
Yes, he was. Right, right. Yeah, you just blew everybody away. I mean, there were some good bodybuilders in there because back in the 80s, there were some great bodybuilders around. But, yeah, you just blew everybody away. It wasn't even close.
In fact, I actually have a few old pictures of that competition.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah.
And Sergio was there at that one, too. I think he was handing out the trophies.
Yes, he was. I talked to him. He was sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
So, that was a long time ago, John. You're bringing back memories.
Yeah, the shirt with the sleeves cut on the sides and all the gold medallions and stuff. Yeah.
He always come in looking like with that hat on his head.
Right. So when you went to the America that year and you got third place, how was that, Lance? Tell me your experience on that. You said Gary Leonard won. That was the first time the MPC and the AAU sort of were working together, right?
Yeah, the MPC and AAU merged at that time, and they had a contract with the AAU to run bodybuilding for a year, and then they were going to take the bodybuilding division of the AAU over.
Right.
They did, but an interesting thing was back in 1977, 3 years before that, Weider was there with his people trying to convince the AAU to let him take bodybuilding over, and so they had a meeting, all the judging people from the AAU had a meeting with the athletes and asked us, and they took a vote, did you want us to affiliate with the Weider organization? And it was turned down. We said no. And Weider was really upset at that time. Of course, then that's when he got his people into the AAU and took them over from the inside and moved to take that organization over, which they did in the form of the MPC.
Okay.
But, I never had a good taste in my mouth for them.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah, 77, that was the one that Dave Johns won, right? The one they had in California?
Yeah. Dave Johns won that. Platts was in that competition.
Yeah, Ron Tufel.
Ron Tufel was in the competition. Manuel Perry was in. He won the tall class. I think, I forget who won the Dave Johns medium class, tall class. Short class was Tufel. Tufel won the short class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not too long after that, Platts did a pose down with Tufel, and it was picked to go to the universe.
That was the next year, yeah, right. That was when Tony Pearson won.
Yeah.
And that was the one where they had the parade, right, in 77, they had it in Santa Monica?
Yeah, and that's where Mae West was there. That show.
Yeah, she gave the award, I think, to Dave Johns at the end.
Yeah, but the 80 America was interesting because I thought I had a really good chance of winning that competition. As I said earlier, both Gary Leonard and I had the same number of first place votes.
Okay. And then the Pharaoh was second.
Took the high score and it took your low score and they dropped both of them. That's yeah. Kind of total score. So
you had a feel that you were right on the cusp then after taking third, though, after especially after being ninth or eighth or ninth in 77, right?
Yeah, I felt really close to winning that competition.
Yeah.
Figured I could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never seen a national level competition at that time in 1980. But I remember when I saw you at the Century USA, I'm like, God, who's going to beat this guy for the Mr. America? You know, there's nobody's going to beat him.
Yeah, that was just before it. I think about a month or so before the Mr. America.
Yeah, it was. But I think that Century USA was in August.
In fact, after the 1980 win, Jim Mannion called me on the telephone because they were getting ready for the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
IFB Universe. And wanted to know if I could be ready because they were hearing reports that Gary Leonard and Greg DeFuro were not in very good shape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said, could you go if we needed to give you a call to get you? I said, sure, I could. And of course, what happened is Gary Leonard ended up going because he won the right to go because he won the class, the heavyweight class at the America. So he went. They couldn't make him not go. He didn't do very well. That's the one that Herbert, Hubert Metz won that one.
Yeah.
At that point, Gary's career in bodybuilding was over because Weider said, you're done. He embarrassed the IFBB in their words.
Well, yeah, I think he only got sixth or something in his class. He did really bad. He was way off.
Yeah, it was really heavy.
So the next year was your year then because you go back to the America and you win the heavyweight class and then you had the showdown with Belknap for the overall.
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about Tim Belknap, because you knew him a little bit, right? Because wasn't he at the same health club you were at in Rockford?
Yeah, actually, Tim worked for me for a short period of time in Rockford. He was one of my instructors.
Okay.
And then, you know, he was training for bodybuilding, and he said that Weider got a hold of him, wanted him to move to California, and that's exactly what he did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back, and he was there maybe a couple of months before the America came in to see me. Okay, and then he went back to California, and that was Tim had one of those type of personalities that could be a little bit irritating at times.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, but anyhow, he went back to California, and Weider pushed him because you know he was Joe's boy. Because in fact, that was a comment that Belknap said to me. He said, you know, I'm going to win the Mr. America. I said, Tim, no, you're not. The best guy's going to win. He goes, I'm going to win because Joe said I'm going to win. That was his word.
Okay. Tim came up pretty fast, right? Because I saw him win the Mr. Illinois in 1980, and then he won the Mr. Midwest right after that in 1981. And then you guys had your showdown later that year.
Right. He was competing in small competition, not a whole lot, but he did come up real fast. He had been training for some time before that, too, though.
What did you think of his physique when he was winning those shows in the local, the Midwest and the Illinois?
He reminds me of today's look, John.
Yeah, he was freaky. I remember when I saw him, I go, wow, I never saw anybody like this before.
Yeah, big, big stomach, bloated stomach, you know, overdeveloped body parts, like today's bodybuilders.
And then I was surprised when they had the America, he dropped down to light heavyweight, and he looked totally different. He must have lost, 20, 30 pounds, right, from what he was before.
He wanted to go into light heavyweight class. He figured he'd have a better chance of winning.
And he went down in weight, but he still beat out Rory Liedemeyer, and then you guys had the pose down for the overall.
Yes.
Did you feel like you should have beat him that year, Lance, at the America?
Oh, yeah. In fact, when we were standing on stage after we had the pose down, the guy who was making the announcement said, and the 1981 Mr. America is Lance. And also he goes, Tim Belknap? Just like that. In the
stage. Really? Wow.
Booing like crazy.
Wow. No kidding. Where was that America that year, Lance?
It was at Caesar's Palace in Vegas.
Oh, that's right. In Vegas, right. Yeah. Okay. So you had to be disappointed then at losing to Belknap, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I trained really hard. I thought I did everything right, you know, and I was ready for the competition. I thought that I should have won the show. I had good balance of muscle groups, good muscularity. I posed well, you know. I was good looking. I had everything they were looking for, you know.
Yeah. So then how many weeks later then was the Mr. Universe, the World Amateur Championships in Egypt?
I don't want to say about about 3 weeks.
Okay. So did you do anything different for that, or did you feel you were already ready?
Yeah, I got hardened up even more.
Okay.
I lost 3 or 4 more pounds.
So tell me about that show. That had to be amazing, competing in Egypt.
Oh, it was fabulous. I mean, it was fabulous. The number of competitors there, a number of countries, was one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences that, you know, you put back in the memory. Your mind, you remember as you get older, you just keep falling back on that. It was just such a great day, you know, and something I could share with my kids and my grandkids. So.
Yeah, and you took those great shots in front of those pyramids. Those are classic shots.
Yeah. That was actually a sanctuary area. You weren't supposed to go in there.
Oh, really?
But Mike Nebby from Weider took me back in there, snuck me in there to get the pictures in front of the Sphinx and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was really cool, really cool. People were really nice there as well.
And you also took some great shots in front of the fountain at Caesar's Palace, right?
Yeah, those are good pictures.
Yeah, those are great pictures. I think, wasn't one of those on the cover of Iron Man?
Yes, they have to use a couple of them for covers. But yeah, we actually started taking those pictures around 8 o'clock in the morning. Because of the sunlight, the way the sun would shine down,
getting
better lighting for posing and whatnot. By the time we were done with that photo shoot, we had all these people following us.
Who took those pictures, Lance? Was that Mike also? Mike Nebby?
Yeah, Mike Nebby. Mike Nebby took those photographs.
Yeah, he's a great photographer. I worked with him in Iron Man. He's an amazing
photographer. Yeah, he is. Really good. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that universe. You beat Gunnar Rospo, right? Who was a big name because he was in Weider's magazines all the time. So that had to feel good to beat a quality competitor like him.
Yeah, Gunnar was the guy that was favored because he was the European champion. They were talking about the size of this guy and how big his forearms were.
Yeah, huge forearms,
I saw a couple of pictures. I go, you know, the guy's big. He's got big forearms. Okay, I've got big arms too. The guy didn't have any back. His legs weren't well developed, particularly the hamstrings. And I said, he's just big. You know, but when he turns around, he just disappears.
Yeah.
So I really put the emphasis on my posing routine and posed on and hitting certain shots that would highlight his weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like twisting back shots, lat spread, that kind of stuff. Because I kept up with him with arm poses. His arms were not better than mine.
Yeah.
Except his forearms. His forearms are the size of his head. But you know,
right.
It's just, then of course his weaknesses came out. I beat him by about 15 points.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I had 298 was my score. 300 is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I do recall that after the prejudging, one of the people came up and told me that they actually had to remove one of the judges from the panel. He was European because the guy was having fits because scoring was coming in, and I was blowing the guy away. And he said, "You can't beat our European champion. That's our champion. Mm-hmm. You can't beat him."
Mm-hmm.
But he said, "You got to get off the panel. This is not good that you're doing this." You know, so they removed him from the panel.
Yeah.
But I was short because all these guys were all tall guys in that heavyweight class. Here I'm 5'8". These guys were 6'2", 6'3".
Right. So. Yeah, that was a great victory. That had to be one of the highlights of your career, right?
Yeah, sure was.
What did you weigh for that show, Lance?
I was probably about 220.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Rospo, I think, weighed about 250.
Wow.
255.
He's
a big guy. He looked like this guy was so big, and he looked like Frankenstein. That's how big he was.
Right.
Just big, just a big old guy. You don't want to get that guy mad. Look like he pulled a tree out of the ground. That's how big he was.
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures of him when I was a kid. He was a freak.
Yeah, really big.
So after that, you got publicity, right? You were in all the magazines. So that had to be one of the highlights of your career. And what was your thoughts then as far as where your career was going to go? Were you going to be an IFBB pro and go for the Olympia?
Yeah, I wanted to do that. I probably should have went in the Olympia right after the universe. That probably would have been a wise move on my part because of the publicity I was getting from the universe and because of what they were saying about my physique.
Yeah.
That I probably, in fact, a couple of the writers commented that I probably could have placed in the top 5, which would have been a good start for me.
Mm-hmm.
First year in that competition, but I didn't do that. I took time off. The following year, Weider tried to get me to California a number of times, and I kept telling the guy no. I remember that first Boyer Cole calls me up, says that Joe wants you in California. You got to come, Lance. And then Ben Weider calls me up, mm-hmm. wanted me to come. And I said no, kept saying no. And then finally Mike Mentzer calls up and says, Lance, you're done in the IFBB, man. No one says no to Weider.
Mm.
I don't want to come out there, Mike. I just don't want to. I got responsibility, man. I have a mortgage on a house. I got a job. I don't want to come out there with some guy just promising me, you know, if I do this and do that, I'm going to win and I'm going to make all kinds of money. I said, you can't pay your bills on a promise. So I never went. Of course, from that point on, it was downhill for me in the IFBB.
So when you say he wanted you to come out there, he wanted you to move out there and be a part of the Weider organization.
And this is between you and I.
Mm-hmm.
He brought me out for a photo shoot with, wasn't it, Kiki Aloma. I think that was her name.
She
was there at the same time. And during the break, we were in the changing room, and Joe's eating a snack, and he says, Lance, you got to come out to California. You can go all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Sergio was big time with him. He called him on the telephone and yelled at Sergio because Sergio wasn't selling products for him in Atlanta. This is the truth now.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, what happened to Sergio after he won his Olympia.
Yeah.
And he decided he didn't want to do the Weider thing. Of course, at that point, Sergio was done in the IFBB no matter how good he looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he always chose Arnold over Sergio.
Oh, yeah. 1973, in essence, Sergio won that show hands down.
Yeah.
And of course, he wasn't playing the Weider game at that time.
Right, right.
In plain English, the IFBB is Weider's organization. You do what Weider tells you to do, or you're not going to win one of his shows. And that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
It always has.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to do well in the IFBB, you go to California. You're at his disposal. You get in his magazines. Okay, now, it doesn't mean you don't have a good physique if you do that. It just means if you want to win one of his shows, that you have to go to California.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you look at all the past winners, they all end up in California.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So I don't know how it is now, but that's the way it was back then. Because you had to sell Weider's products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you come out with your own stuff, you're in trouble. I know that when Samir left the IFBB for 1 year and went to a separate show, he was done in the IFBB too. He came back, never won it again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Weider wasn't going to let that happen. They slap you on the wrist and you're done.
Yeah. When 1982 came along, you just decided just to do the Olympia. Were you thinking about doing the Night of the Champions before that? Or?
Yeah, they wanted me to go on Night of the Champions. I says, no, I don't want to go on that show. I didn't. Mm-hmm. They wanted me to come to California and train for it. They said, you need to come to California and train for this show. I said, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if I didn't have responsibility, didn't have a mortgage on a house, you know, I might have done something different back then because I had responsibility. You just can't go. You know what? Because they couldn't give you a definite how much money you're going to make. You know, it's in the magazines. You know, we'll let you come out with your courses, and you can sell your courses in the magazines, and we'll pay you a couple hundred dollars a week. That's exactly what they said. Doesn't pay my bills, man.
Right, right. And there were no contracts back then, right? Like now, there's a lot.
No, it was just
a lot of
it was just their word. Yeah, they gave you their word they were going to do this. And of course, you know, if they decided they didn't want to do it. If they wanted to cut you off, you're done.
Yeah. So tell me about that first Olympia you did in 82. What was your experience like there? That was in London, right? But the one Chris Dickerson won.
Yeah, I wasn't in top form for that show. I thought I should have done better.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe the top 8 or 9, but you know, not 15.
Yeah.
I wasn't in top form. And I thought that that's the show that Platt said his bicep was torn already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dickerson won. Dickerson had a torn pec.
Yeah.
I thought Casey Vider looked great.
Yeah, he did. He was in great shape that year.
Yeah, I thought Casey should have done much better. I thought he should have won that show. Samir was in it. Samir looked good.
Yeah, yeah, Samir was ripped.
Yeah, Danny Padilla was in it. He was a little bit softer.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris, it was Chris's year to win the show.
Yeah.
Playing a game. Nice guy. Super nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know, again, he had weak body parts. You know, his arms are small, torn pec, that kind of stuff. So, of course, they were touting Platt at that time because of the way he looked the year before. But he came in, you know, with a torn bicep.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't going to let that happen.
So, yeah.
He actually should have taken time off and had that thing corrected.
I know, he should have fixed it right away.
Yeah, but he didn't do that. Someone must have been telling him, you need to go in the show. You're going to win. Even with the torn bicep. So,
yeah.
You know, it was a good experience. You know, not one that's one of my best memories, but it was a good experience. Got to meet people that were legends in the sport that you never met before, You know,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. It'd be amazing going in that contest and competing against these guys, that a lot of them who you read about, you know, as you were growing up.
Yeah, that was the best part of it. It was a good feeling being on the same stage with these guys.
Yeah. You know? And then you did it the next year also, right, in Munich, Germany, yeah, in 1983.
Same thing. You know, I didn't go in top form. I was losing my motivation because I kept hearing, you need to come to California. If you don't come out there, you're never going to win another one of these shows. And I figured, you know what? This isn't going too well, you know, so I just decided to get out of it. That's when I went into NABBA.
Mm-hmm.
Started competing over there because I figured I didn't need to worry about politics as much to win one of their shows. Even though politics are involved in everything, just wasn't to that extreme. They didn't have a product they wanted you to sell.
Right, right. Were you working for you were still at the health club back in 82, 83?
82 and 83 I was, and then 83 is when I left.
Okay.
And that's when I went on my own.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about that NABBA universe then. This was another historic contest that a lot of legendary bodybuilders behind it, great legacy. So how did it feel going into that? You just went right into the pro NABBA universe, right? The first year you did it?
Yeah. I've been in the universe, Olympia a couple times, and because those are professional shows, I wasn't allowed to go in the amateur. Belknap went in it that year in 84. That was the first one. And he won his class, and Brian Buchanan won the overall.
Yeah. And you went in the pro, and Kowak won it first, and
Ed
Buchanan
was first. Mazzaroni, who was an Italian bodybuilder, finished second. That should have been and I was third. And the following year in 85, Kowak won it again. Brian Buchanan was second. I was third in that one again.
How did you feel those shows went?
I thought I should have been top. That's my opinion. Kowak had a lot of muscle, but it was ugly muscle. Yeah, a lot of muscle, but just really ugly shape to the muscle. And Brian had no legs. You talk about a waist-to-shoulder difference, though. Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
It looked like someone took a top and stuck it on a table.
Right, right. I know. He was amazing.
He had to have a 25-inch waist. That's how small his waist was.
Jesus. Unbelievable.
Tremendous upper body, but legs were not there.
And you did the WABA Pro World Championships that year, too, right? The one the Samir won?
Yeah, I wasn't in top form in that one either because I got contacted last minute to go in it.
Okay.
But really not in top form. If the guy needs competitors, please go in, pay your way there and stuff. I go, all right, no problem. So I went.
Yeah.
It was a good show. I just, like I said, I wasn't in top form.
That was in the United States, right, Lance?
Yeah, it was in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's where I met Arnold's mother.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah, they brought her in as guest of honor.
Huh, okay. I didn't know that.
Like Arnold with the wig on and a long
old Oh, really?
That's funny. Yeah, big woman. She's about 6 feet tall. Looked just like Arnold.
Yeah. Wow. Who promoted that show?
Oh, God, what was his name? Cliff Sawyer.
Oh, yeah. I remember that name. Okay.
Yeah, Cliff was the president of the AAU at that time.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of you in Hawaii with Arnold and I think Scott Wilson. Remember that picture?
Yeah, that was guest posing. It was in June of 1982.
Okay. So then we go to 86, and that was the year you won the NABBA Universe finally after three tries.
Yeah.
So that had to be a great show, right? That had to be another highlight of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did everything right that year. I said, I'm going to win this competition. I spent time getting ready for it. I said, that day, I personally feel, this is my own opinion, I could have won Mr. Olympia that day.
Really? Wow.
That's how good I looked.
Yeah.
My muscles were hard, large, no weak body parts, shape was there, everything.
Right. How was your training and your diet different, Lance, later in the 80s than it was like when the 1970s when you were younger?
In the 70s, it was more of an experimental type of approach, what would work best for me, and we did a lot of low-carbohydrate dieting then.
Right, I remember, yeah.
Because that was the way to lose body fat, getting ready for shows.
Mm-hmm.
And here you got this German kid trying to eat low-carbohydrates when the diet primarily was potatoes and bread.
Okay, right.
A little bit of meat, okay, and you go on that kind of diet, you felt pretty bad for a while.
Right, but, right.
Yeah, so eventually, ultimately, I ended up basically counting calories. And I was taking maybe about 2,500 calories, and I was trying to get ready for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Measuring portions of food out, and that worked pretty well for me. Of course, my philosophy today is low carbohydrate because of the health effect of eating low carbohydrates versus eating lots of carbs.
So in the 80s, were you eating more carbs then? Because I remember a lot of guys in the 80s were eating higher carbs, lower protein.
Yeah, I was eating probably about 400 or 500 grams of carbs a day.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, but basically mostly from potatoes, you know, whole grain bread and cereals like oatmeal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what did you weigh for that pro NABBA universe in 86 when you said you were probably at your peak?
About 230.
Okay. And what was the reaction from the crowd from your physique from that year?
Everyone sort of just sat and looked at you like, whoa.
yeah. So that was probably, you think that was maybe your physical peak then, 86?
Yeah, that definitely was my best peak. I looked my best ever at that time.
Okay. And you were doing a lot of guest posings, right, in Europe around that time, seminars and guest posings?
Well, that's how we made a living. Every week we had guest posings going on or seminars.
And I made
pretty good money over there.
Uh-huh.
You know, doing that. Of course, the countries were so close together.
We
able to travel relatively easily, getting from one point to another, okay, without much travel time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. You got to see a lot of the world then, a lot of Europe
and stuff,
huh?
Yeah.
Did you think about quitting then, Lance, after that? Because I noticed, I'm looking at your contest history here on the internet, and said you went to the back to the IFBB for a few years.
Yeah, I retired. I retired in 86, and then I stayed out of it for a couple of years. And then I had people saying, why don't you go back into competition? You still look really good. And I said, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'll try the IFBB. So I wrote Ben Weider a letter, and he writes me back, says, nice to have you back into the fold, what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was a little bit of a sarcastic letter, how he worded everything. And so I went into the Arnold Classic. Well, the first show I went into was the Chicago Pro Show.
Yeah, in 88.
Yeah, and I mean, I really looked good. Really good. I didn't want to come in that show not top form.
Mm-hmm.
So who was it? Stridham was in that thing.
Phil Williams won, right?
He won the show.
Yeah.
He looked good. And a whole bunch of guys were in that thing.
And, yeah, I remember I saw that show because I was still in Chicago at the time. I went and saw that one.
And the top five finishers qualified for the Olympia.
Okay.
I finished sixth.
Mm.
You know Rich Lorish, remember him?
Yeah, I remember Rich.
He was the NPC chairman. He was one of the judges. After the show, he came up to me. Okay, I was leaving the place and said, I want to talk to Lance. He talked to me. You know, Lance, I had you in the top two. This is what they did to me. And they're questioning back and forth. Why you have Lance placed so high? He said, because the guy was big, he was cut, he had no weak body parts. Then everyone else, you know, he said that they told him, okay, you're done judging. That's the last IFBB show the guy ever judged.
Wow.
And then I said, you know what? I did sixth place, you know, first show back. You know,
You've got
your politics involved. Okay, I'll try one more. Then I tried the Arnold Classic, okay, and I looked really good in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. That was in February of the following year.
Yeah, in 89. And that was the first Arnold Classic.
Yeah, and I finished eighth and did not get one call back.
Hmm.
It was like 16 guys in it. They were all good competitors.
Yeah.
And I didn't get one call back. And I'm backstage, and Joe says, Lance, I got to get you out to California. He says, you look really good tonight. And I go, Joe. I said, tell the judges that. They didn't call me out one time. He goes, got to remember, Lance, you haven't been in the IFBB for a long time. No, you haven't been in my magazines. No one reads the other magazine. You got to come out to California and let me promote you. And that was it. I said, I'm done. No more.
But
I tried a little bit a couple years later, half and half, you know, not in really good shape. And I said, forget it. I got to get out of this. It's just too time consuming. You know, my heart's not in it anymore. I'm not going to play the politic game. If I'd have done that, it would have been a long time before that. So it's over. Sports done with me, you know.
Yeah.
So when I got out of it, so anyhow.
You're probably in your late 30s now when you did your last show.
About 1991, 92.
Yeah, 92. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Late 30s.
So what'd you do then, Lance? I know you're living out in Arizona now. How long have you been out there?
Yeah, I've been here since 1985.
Okay.
And I got into the personal training business, nutrition business. I do talk radio now, along with the training aspect of it as well. Yeah, where I promote my business and promote fitness and health in general on iHeartRadio.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's primarily geared towards baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the aging population. We're the ones who need it most.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I get a call once in a while from somebody wanting to booger arms, but not too often. Mostly it's because they've got, you know, joint replacements or back issues, or they've got to lose weight, or they're diabetics, that kind of stuff. So that's my niche.
How'd you like living in Arizona after Chicago?
I like Arizona. The only problem is when it gets hot, then I don't like Arizona. That's 3 months. Summertime. Right now, it's cold right now. It's probably in the upper 50s.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but last week it was in the 70s.
Yeah, I moved out to Tampa, Florida about 7 years ago because I lived in Chicago my whole life too, and I feel the same way. It's just the summertime is just so hot, but after that, it's just beautiful.
You ran into Tony Little out there?
No, I haven't. I know he's around, and I think he's still active on doing the selling, you know, selling his products and stuff, but I haven't run into him yet.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You'd like him. Look him up while you're there.
Yeah. You know who lives out here in Tampa is Jim Haslop. Do you remember him? 1968,
Mr.
America?
He had a great physique.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. Still
How
trains.
Now?
Good. I mean, he's older, obviously, 76, I think. But he still trains in his garage, I think, 3 days a week. So, real nice guy. I got to meet him just about a month or so ago. So, I'm supposed to do an interview with him coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, the guys back then, John, were much more wholesome looking than they are today.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody was good looking guys. They weren't ugly mugs. I hate to say that. Most of the guys here are ugly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a different era back then. So at least you got to come up through probably the golden age, right? The 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
What were some of your most memorable experiences, Lance, throughout your whole career, if you look back through it, whether it was an amateur show or a pro show or national level show or whatever?
Well, my memorable was the first time I was in the junior Mr. Rockford. I was 17, 18.
Okay.
And I won my first trophy.
Okay, right. Right.
Then, of course, the America, the Universe, the Central USA, Mr. Midwest,
mm-hmm.
Badger State, all those, Collegiate Mr. America. You know, it was good back then because I used to take home more than one trophy because they had body part awards.
Yeah, remember that? I love that when they had the body part awards.
Oh, I love that. I used to clean house.
Yeah, I'll bet. How about some of the competitors? What were some of the more memorable competitors, like the guys that really stood out for you and the guys that impressed you or the guys you got along with real good?
Rory Liedelmeyer is a really nice man.
Okay.
Carlos Rodriguez, great guy. I like Mike Quinn, even though Mike had a fiery personality. Really, he's always nice to me.
Yeah, it was to me too.
Yeah, Gary Leonard was nice. You know, a lot of them were really good guys. Samir was always good to me. Always.
Yeah.
I didn't know Platts real well, even though I talked to him a couple times. Just didn't know him really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't spend a lot of time in those competitions, and I wasn't in California, so I didn't really get to know many. Christian's a good guy. Mike Christian's a super guy.
Yeah, I've interviewed him a couple times.
And I didn't get to talk to Lee Haney much, but I've heard he's a really nice man as well.
Oh, yeah, great guy. Real good guy. How about some of the physiques that you competed against? Who were some of the guys that impressed you?
Samir.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. Perfect balance. Of course, Haney.
Yep.
Great physique. Padilla, when he was in top form, boy. Ooh.
Yeah, incredible. Amazing. Yeah,
great body on him. Casey Viator, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought that Zane had a really nice physique when he stood there.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Zane, when he just stood there, boy, nothing. No one can beat him.
Exactly.
He looked like a statue. Same thing with Nubray. Nubray had that type of look.
Yeah, Serge Nubray was amazing.
But that's about it. A lot of guys have special qualities to their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like back then, you could take and put a bag over their head, and you knew whose physique it was. Today, you put a bag over their head, you can't tell who it is.
Do you follow the sport at all anymore, Lance?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's changed because basically out here, you know, Arizona is one of those places you get a lot of people flying in for photo sessions and whatnot. And I know the way to become a top fitness pro now is to get your pictures in these magazines, so they hire photographers to put a portfolio together for them, and they present it to the magazines, and now they're all of a sudden they're an expert.
And
one of my pet peeves when it comes to the fitness industry, you have a lot of these people that are these stars in the fitness industry never won a show in their life.
Right, I know, exactly. Well, social media has changed a lot of it too.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. And they're the ones who are basically dictating how the industry is actually moving. That's where, you know, all this stuff with flipping tires and swinging sledgehammers comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, one of my things is swinging those stupid kettlebells around.
Right, right. Yeah, I never got into that. Lance, what's your radio show if people want to listen to your show every week?
It's on 550 KFYI.
Okay.
Phoenix at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. But they can also go to iHeartRadio and just type my name in. And there, you'll see a podcast there.
Okay.
Past shows. And they can just go into the library and listen to the show. But again, it's geared towards people that are over 50.
Not a bodybuilding show.
No. Bodybuilding, I wouldn't have any clients.
Right. What else you got going on, Lance, out in Arizona?
Well, that's about it. Like I said, I'm at my son's house. We're watching our two grandkids.
Okay.
He spent some time hanging with his friends. He needs a break. He's an accountant. Most of my days spent, I start real early in the morning. I get up around 3 o'clock.
Really?
Start working. Wow. I start working at about 4:45, training people, and I'm done by about 2 in the afternoon. But it's not about, I do 30-minute training sessions using Bob Guided's system, the BHA system.
Okay.
It's incredible. I'm trying to come out with a certification course with his program. I'm working on that right now with him.
Okay.
I use that system. And 30-minute sessions on. I do probably 80, 85 sessions a week.
Wow, you're busy.
Yeah, I'm getting too old for that, John. Believe me.
Yeah. And how's your training going now? You still training regularly?
I train 5 days a week using the PHA system. Each muscle group's twice a week.
Okay.
Heavy. I still train heavy. You know, I don't train as heavy as I did, but I still train heavy for someone who's 62 years old.
Yeah. What is the PHA system for those of our listeners that don't have never heard of that before?
Is a holistic approach to whole body training.
Okay.
You move around the body like a pump. You have about 690 plus muscles in the body. Each of them help with circulation, okay, of blood and lymphatic fluids. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person does a workout, okay, you've got 65,000 miles of blood vessels to pump blood through, okay, through the arterial system and the venous system. Okay. And if the venous system is weak, meaning you don't have the squeezing muscular action, then the arterial system of the heart and the arteries have to pump blood back up to the lungs and the heart, okay, which takes a lot of stress to do that. So by using his system, by going upper, lower, working small muscle groups, it actually increases the pumping effect. So it actually dilates blood vessels. It also dissipates the acid produced from exercise in general. So if a person is deconditioned, they have minimal soreness when they work out.
Okay.
Because of the dissipation of the lactic acid.
Right.
But at the same time, you can modify the program for somebody who's deconditioned, but keep them moving so they keep their heart rate elevated so they get cardiovascular benefits from the program as well. Plus, it condenses the time that you need to exercise into a shorter period. Okay, because right now I'm doing probably 13, 14 sets for chest, same thing for back, same thing for bicep, same thing for triceps, legs, and shoulders. And it's taking me 30 minutes to do that stuff.
Okay.
Because boom, 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 there's no resting. Then you're getting your cardio from it.
Yeah.
So this way I'm not worrying about spending an hour and a half working on the gym.
Yeah.
Most of the time spent resting between exercises because, you know, you figure it takes you maybe 15, 20 seconds to do a set. And if you're resting for a minute, most of the time spent doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a circuit training type of.
Yeah, circuit training actually is an offshoot from PHA.
Okay.
Now, circuit training primary emphasis is mostly on extremity training, arms and legs. PHA, there's a lot of emphasis on core exercises, you know, abdominal, back, lower back, glutes, neck exercises, everything. Is part of that program, along with little muscles on the shins and things like this.
Oh, okay.
Plus, circuit training is primarily done with machines. Where PHA is done with a combination of free weights and machines, because then you're using stabilization training where you're working small muscles that actually control the body when you're standing upright.
Okay.
So it's more advanced. In fact, PHA is the same system that Bruce Lee used.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. In fact, type in Bruce Lee, Bob Guida. You'll see the article pop up about him mentioning Guida in the article.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Yeah. All right, I'll do that.
Yeah, Bob was big at the time that Bruce Lee was a celebrity, was a star.
Yeah, in the 60s, so
Bob Bob was getting a lot of publicity in the magazines at that time with his training technique. He trained on PHA training. In fact, he trained Sergio for a while on that system as well.
I used to be a big Bruce Lee fan back in the day, and I remember he would buy a lot of the bodybuilding magazines just to pick up tips from different types of training he could use for his own training.
Yeah.
Well, Lance, I want to thank you for taking a time out of your schedule to join us. It's always been a goal of mine to talk to you because, like I said, I grew up watching you in the Chicago area, and you were a big idol of mine. You know, I got to see the local hero from Chicago compete. So I always wanted to talk to you. I thought you had a magnificent physique, And thanks for taking the time to talk to the Bodybuilding Legend Show.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. You have a great weekend, okay?
All right, you too, Lance. Take care, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. Thanks for Lance Dreher for joining us for this interview today. And I want to thank Old School Labs, Florida Alternative Medicine, and Redcon One for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. Join us next week when we'll be joined by the great Roy Duvall, 1979 IFBB Mr. Universe winner and also a real legend in the NAVA universe history. So have a great week, everybody. Take care. We'll see you then.